Hello, everyone, and welcome to the American Ninja Warrior Rehap-Up Podcast. I am bringing to you a very special episode. We are finally recapping Team Ninja Warrior. We're a little bit behind here, but it's for a good reason, because we've brought a very special guest with us. It's none other than James the Beast McGrath. James, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing all right.
Yes, I'm so happy to have you on with us. As always, I'm here with my amazing co-host, Lita. Lita, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm so pumped. We were lucky enough to get to meet James in Vegas, so I'm glad that we got to get this together.
Yes, our wonderful Vegas trip. We will eventually talk about it once we're able to. But yeah, we had the great pleasure of meeting James there, and we were able to talk to him and ask him to be on the podcast. And so now here he is. And as we've mentioned before, just because he's there doesn't necessarily mean anything. He could have been competing.
Yeah, no comment on why I was in Vegas.
A lot of people just go there to hang out, to cheer on their friends. No spoilers there. let's get straight into this. James, when did you first get involved with American Ninja Warrior?
I first got involved in 2010. I was a walk-on. I was just a huge fan of the show when it aired on G4 as just Ninja Warrior. They didn't have an American Ninja Warrior at the time. And then they had an American Ninja Challenge on G4's Attack of the Show, which was you submit a video. People online voted on the video. I got all excited because they take the top 10 people with votes and flew them down to LA, and then they competed, and then they sent the top two to compete on Sasuke in Japan. I got super excited for this and grabbed my camera and was like, I need to go film a video. So I did some research on the top videos that were getting votes, and I was like, never mind, no one's ever going to vote for me. I can't do anything that is impressive to see. You know, if you run fast on camera, it doesn't really, it's not very exciting. I can't do any flips, or at the time I definitely couldn't do flips. And what I was seeing was a lot of parkour and guys who were just absurdly ridiculously athletic. Like, I'm talking like one-legged pistol jump squats, you know, up past their hips. I couldn't do any of that kind of stuff. So I was just like, well, never mind. Looks like I'm just going to have to plan a trip to Japan or something. But the American Ninja Warrior Challenge was such a big hit that they decided to have their own show, American Ninja Warrior. And at the time, for the first three seasons, it was, they only had tryouts in one city, in Los Angeles, and they narrowed it down to the top 15. Those 15 went to a boot camp, which was like a Survivor style elimination, where they got the top 10 and sent the top 10 to Japan to compete on Sasuke.
Wait, based on just like performance in the boot camp, or were there competitions?
Yeah, so the boot camp was divided into three teams of five, and each day there would be a penalty challenge where one team that did the worst on the challenge would get penalized and have to go do some task. They took like 100 feet of rope and tangled it all in a tree. Yeah. And you had to get the rope out of the tree. They had to saw logs for hours while the other two teams got to practice on the obstacles. So when I saw that they started American Ninja Warrior, I was just like, this is amazing. I have to do this. And the first time I saw an ad, like season one came and went and I didn't even know. I was in college at the time and somehow I missed it. Not sure how. Because I watched G4 and Ninja Warrior religiously at the time. But I saw the commercial for season two. And it just so happened that they were having tryouts, that they called it open tryouts at the time. 2 weeks from when I saw the commercial, and I just happened to be packing to go to Southern California to go visit my aunt. I did terribly. I fell on the first obstacle. I fell on the third quad step because I just kind of froze and fell in. From there, I was so excited. I stayed, I watched, I learned as much as I could. I got to talk, you know, I sat down and talked with Nagano for like 3.5 hours about technique.
Oh my God, Taryn's so jealous.
The show, and it was pretty great. Yuji was there. And then from there is when I actually started training. And then I came back season three, did fairly well, made it to stage three, and I've been season four was the first year that they had it all in America in Vegas. And from there, I've just been doing my thing.
It's awesome. Yeah, I loved like all the OG guys, the guys that were fans of Ninja Warrior, that have been like with the show since the very, very early stages. And you've always been one of those great competitors that anyone that's on Ninja Warrior, American Ninja Warrior, that like doesn't know about the Sasuke, like, I mean, I still love you, but come on.
So harsh on all the fans, Taren.
Do you still keep up with Sasuke?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, how can I not? Have you?
Right. Oh, of course.
I mean, my roommate.
Yes.
He's been doing pretty well.
Yes, he has. Man, Drew Dreschel really been killing it lately.
Yeah. What a star.
Man, I mean, last year, making it stage three in both. Man.
I think Joe coming into this season nine had like the record for most consistent stage three appearances. What was it, three in a row?
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, his first, which is insane to think about, his first three seasons, he makes it to stage three. I've been doing this like how many seasons, and I've made it to stage three before season nine twice. Like, it's just, it's hard to get there.
Yeah.
But if you count the past two seasons of Sasuke, or the past, what, three seasons of Sasuke? With Ninja Warrior in that, Drew's been to stage three like five times in a row now.
Yeah,
what
Drew
is it,
lives
five
at stage
six times
three.
In a row? It's crazy. Yeah. It's nuts. It's a mind-boggling record. Like, consistency.
Yeah, I love that he gets to compete in Sasuke. It's great to see a familiar face there.
It gives us Americans hope.
Yeah,
we'll be able to go back.
Do you try to go back when you can?
To compete.
Yeah,
that's a completely different story. That's all. The reason Drew's right. out there is because he went to a little thing called Sasuke Malaysia.
Right.
Which didn't turn out how TBS wanted it to turn out. Mm-hmm. But all of the Japanese competitors came back, and the only thing they were talking about was how awesome Drew was.
Understandable.
Yeah. Yeah. He absolutely crushed in Sasuke Malaysia, and they were so impressed with him that they decided to bring him out to Sasuke in Japan. And, you know, he makes it really far on stage three. So they bring him back again, and he does the same thing. So they bring him back again, and he does the same thing. So, you know, it's hard to work up an argument to not bring Drew back to Sasuke.
Oh, totally. He's got to win this thing at some point.
I know, right? but for any of the others, I'm not sure if I can talk about that.
Well, from what I understand, there's been trouble with the athletes being able to compete because there's been, you know, there's not the greatest relationship between TBS and NBC.
TBS corporate is really, really strict about who they let on the show. Mm-hmm. And they've always been that way. It's always been very, very difficult to get on. And now that American Ninja Warrior has its own thing, they really don't care about accepting other athletes. When I spoke with them, they basically said, you can get on Sasuke by just kicking butt in America. And I took that as, if you win, we'll talk.
Well, there you go.
At the very least, they all remember me out there. They call me Ice Cream Scoopa.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because at the time in season three, that's what my day job was. I was an ice cream scooper.
Yeah, I remember Incredible. That. I feel like, did you have like a different job every season for a couple seasons?
Until season like seven, I had a different, like, I was going through jobs like crazy because of Ninja Warrior.
Yeah.
Like, you ask for time off and they say no. And it's like, no, I'm really not asking for time off. I'm letting you know I'm not going to be.
Yeah. Heard that.
So let's get into Team Ninja to all the people that don't watch Sasuke.
Maybe you I'll should edit watch this Sasuke.
You should absolutely
deal with that. It's a problem. If you're listening to this podcast and you don't watch Sasuke, you should definitely watch Sasuke.
See, right, and it's not just me saying it anymore.
That's our podcast. This is all Taren just wanted to get you on. to endorse this, and now we can hang up. We're done.
You're missing, if you love Ninja Warrior and you love Team Ninja Warrior, you're missing out on so much by not watching Sasuke.
Absolutely. Any American Ninja Warrior fan that doesn't watch Sasuke should be in absolute disgrace, Lita. All right, so let's talk about Team Ninja Warrior. When did you first get introduced to this concept for Team Ninja?
So funny thing is, I didn't know about season one until about 3 weeks before season one.
Oh my!
They had called me and just started talking to me, not just talking at me about like dates and stuff and like when they were scheduling. And apparently they just forgot to CC me on like all the emails that they were sending out. And I was like, what are you talking about? They're like, you're coming down for the competition. You're on Drew's team. And I was just like, I have no idea what you're talking about. This competition you're talking about is in 3 weeks and I've never heard of it.
Okay. So when they pick the teams, I'm always curious about this. Are they like basically assigned, but in like a logical way? Or is it a real thing where it's like, I had to have James on my team because he's my best friend? You know, like,
no. So they assign captains and the captains get to choose their teams.
Okay.
Some captains choose before others. So there's like they keep a roster of people who have and have not been picked. And for some of them, they only have a certain pool to pick from for people who like viewing would make sense.
Right.
Like Drew wouldn't be able to pick like some random person we don't know.
His mom.
His mom or his dad or anybody. And he like they wanted to keep it to people who are like close to Drew. So people, you know, people who are close to Drew, like within the ninja realm that has been seen on TV. So even though he might have been close with Nick from Alaska, they might have thought that was cool and put that together. But it kind of has to work a little bit story wise. So they give them plenty of options.
Sure.
Season one was difficult because there wasn't a lot, like the number of high level women between season one and season two is astounding.
Yeah.
Season one, they were having trouble filling out the roster with women.
And there were so few teams in season one compared to this season.
Season two, there was like eight more teams and there were like crazy talented women all around. Yeah. So that, you know, there was a bit of a difference there, but that's how the format happened. They thought it up. They decided to do it and they did it.
Were you excited about this different kind of competition?
Yeah, I was excited for it. I thought the head-to-head racing thing would be really cool because people don't really see me and associate me with speed. And I know I'm really fast. So I thought I'd go out there and show off my stuff.
Awesome. Yeah. Did you have a good time that first season? Was it like a really good experience?
Yeah. The first time was a great experience. It was a little tough because, we lost the champions. If you remember in our episode, it was a little hard. So like knowing we could have beat them was a little hard because they went through and win the whole thing. And you're just like, oh man, if only I just done everything right instead of everything wrong. You know, it's a good learning experience.
But then you get to pretend that like, oh, well, we're definitely the second best team because we only lost to the team that won.
So I don't know if that's how it works, but but, you know, it's better than losing to the team that lost. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, the Real Life Beast is a way better name than Party Time anyway. So
it's true.
That's really what matters.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Who came up with the name?
We were spitballing names. I think it was Drew, maybe. Or maybe it was April, Drew's girlfriend. We were having a hard time coming up with names. And then I don't think I came up with it. Maybe it might have been one of the, it was probably, I think it might have been pitched to us by one of the producers.
Yeah.
It was either Drew, April, or one of the producers that pitched it to us. I can't remember who. It definitely wasn't me. And if it was, then I completely forgot.
Do the team members usually come up with the names or
for a lot of them they tried to help out a lot of teams with like giving us really really ridiculous like very punny names, and some of the teams took that and ran with it. But they just wanted it to be a little more loose, a little more fun. And it definitely aired that way. It's a lot of fun. And more than anything, it's a lot more fun to film. Yeah. You're running three or four or five times in a single day. It's filmed during the day, which is amazing. Yeah. You know, you're not like building up to, you know, 4:30 at night for this single run that you've just been like stressing over for the past month and a half, like, or year. But it's a lot of fun to film. Racing people is always fun. Playing on obstacles is a great time. And I think for the viewers, like the people who sat in the stands to watch, it's such a good time for them. Like, I tell a lot of people who want to come and watch my runs, I'm like, you don't want to come. Like, if all you care about is my run, just don't save yourself the hassle. Don't come, because that's going to happen at like 3:30 at night. You have to get there at like 8 p.m. Yeah. You're going to be sitting there. You can't leave, because if you leave, you can't get back in, or it's going to be, you know, a huge hassle to get back in. You're going to be cold. You're going to be tired, and it's going to be, you know, 2 minutes and then I'm done. Whereas this, you can sit there and watch. Like, a lot of the competitors would show up and just watch all day because it was so exciting to watch in person.
Yeah, Taryn, let's go to a Team Ninja Warrior filming next year. I feel like that would be a little more relaxed.
Yeah, well, I mean, like there are families who like, you know, when we go to these tapings, there are families that will stay, you know, up till, you know, 2, 3, 4 in the morning, waiting for their, you know, family member to run. And maybe they're waiting at the back half of the course, and their family member finally comes up and they go out on the second obstacle. They don't even see them on the course. And that's like, that's their whole experience. And so, I mean, that it's got to be disappointing.
And most of the time they were waiting at like in the friends and family line. And then someone called out a name and they're like, that's us. And then they shuffle them over to the back half.
Yeah.
And then they shuffle them out the gate.
Yeah. So do you prefer doing Team Ninja to the regular season?
Gosh, you know, nothing really compares to the regular season. They're just so, like, as a competitor, they're just so different, like, that you almost can't compare them. Like, they're the same in that they're obstacles. But outside of that, it's hard to compare.
So, like, how competitive does it get? Like, is it a little like lighter hearted because there's
everyone there means business. Like, everyone there wants to beat whoever's standing next to them. I mean, we're all very competitive people, but just because we're nice to everybody doesn't mean like, oh no, you can take this one. It's okay. I've been working really hard at training in these skills for no reason. You can just have this. Like, no one's giving out free passes.
Yeah.
No one would want anyone to. So
yeah. So going into season two, are you feeling like confident in your team? Do you feel like we can take this down?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, going into season one, I was like, we're going to win this.
Yeah.
Like, how did they let me and Drew be on a team? This is crazy. There's no way we lose. And then we lost. But I felt pretty much the same going into season two. And We were putting things together really, really well. And Erica was starting to, I mean, she did really well last season, but I feel like there were so many things that she was holding herself back on, because that was the first time she's ever touched a course.
Yeah.
And she did amazing. But I just kept, like, you know, kind of telling her, like, you can do better than this. Like, you should be doing better than this. Like, I expect more from you. And just because of how good she is, like, she doesn't. I think she doesn't even realize how good she is. But this, you know, coming into season two, she was just crushing. And every time she ran, I was just like, there's no way we lose. Like, we can't lose. If she's running this well, Drew's putting everything together. I hadn't lost a race between both seasons. I was feeling great about it until Erica's knee betrayed us all.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was actually a very scary moment for, I mean, like, as soon as it happened, I knew exactly what happened. And, you know, I've been trained in a bunch of stuff as a lifeguard. You know, I know how to deal with cuts and drowning people. And I knew what had happened. And I was like, it's her knee. This is really bad. Like, she's probably going to have surgery. I can't do anything for her. But I was just like holding her, like, what do I do?
Yeah.
As she was just crying. And it was just like, oh my gosh, like, just, I felt so bad for her.
Yeah. Did she end up recovering? Okay. Everything went smoothly.
Yeah. She didn't participate in season 9 at all. Couldn't do it. Yeah. But she should be able to compete in season 3 of Team Ninja. She's been taking recovery slow and steady, and she's starting to come back.
Yeah, so I was going to ask, just talking about like how seriously everybody takes this. I was a little concerned when I watched specifically the finale of the season. Like, there were so many injuries that looked really serious. I was wondering if it was almost a deterrent. Were there people who like were maybe like, it's not even worth it to participate in Team Ninja Warrior?
Well, the thing, so I came in with a tweaked shoulder from last season, season 8 of American Ninja Warrior. I had hurt my shoulder on the jumping spider, and I didn't think there was very much, you know, I just thought, you know, rehab, come back, get ready for team and rocket at team. And team is where I realized this injury is so much worse than I thought it was. And coming out of team, I went and saw a doctor, and it turns out I tore my labrum. So after that, that first run I had where I completely like jarred my shoulder and, you know, I finished and then just dropped and held my shoulder. I was in a tremendous amount of pain, and that's the reason that Drew took the back half, because I couldn't extend my arm fully. But we just like taped up my shoulder really tight, and I was just going for it, because as long as I was like in here, which most of the obstacles were, I knew I was good. The one thing that scared me was actually running against Brett Sims, because I knew I could get out ahead of him up to obstacle 5, but I couldn't do the technique that I wanted to use because of the condition my shoulder was in. And I knew he was probably going to do that technique, which is so much faster that he could actually pass me and beat me.
On which obstacle is that? On the globe grass race?
That was the donuts, the tires, the wooden tires. It's the one before the warped wall, the circular.
They put their hands in the thing. They have to go across
the tire swing. Yeah.
So I knew I couldn't do the technique I wanted to. I knew he was probably going to do it. And so I just had to get to obstacle 5 fast enough to where him doing it more efficiently and me getting there before him offset. So it was just a race up the wall. But he missed his grab. And just, you know, the course was so fast this year that, you know, a 5 second, 10, like the 10 second lead thing, which we can get to later, was pretty much a death sentence. It could have been a 5 second, and still you wouldn't have seen much of a difference in like the team that had someone fall would have been the team that lost still.
Yeah. What was the technique on the tires that you wanted to use?
So I wanted to run into the first one, hit the far end of it, swing to the second one, grab the far end of that, and then reach all the way to the third one and grab the back end of that, pull, swing, and dismount. Instead, I had to run to the first one, grab that, hit the front end of the second one, grab it, pull back, swing, grab the next one, pull back, swing. So you're doing 2 or 3 more swings, which adds like another 5 or 6 seconds. Whereas the other one, you just kind of fly across.
Yeah,
that was something interesting to watch, especially that obstacle right before the warped wall. Whatever it was, there was usually some sort of better way of doing it that the athletes caught on to after a few runs. Is that something you're always watching and like looking out for? Like, how can we do this one faster?
Yeah, I'm always trying to figure out the fastest way before we get on it. So, you know, there's not too much of a learning curve, and it's more or less not doing it differently each time, but just refining the way you do it each time so you can make the quick way that much quicker.
So when you in season 2, you're looking around at all these other teams, who did you feel like was your biggest competitor in terms of like who might be standing in your way here?
Oh man, when I was just looking at the teams, like our original bracket was so strong. You have Mike Bernardo and Ryan Stratus with, gosh, I forgot who was on their team. Grace. It was Grace.
Yep.
Like Mike and Ryan are actually pretty quick, really strong athletes. Then Lauren Ball and Paul Kazmir. Paul was back. Yes. He's on a team with Lauren, and Lauren's if you don't know who Lauren is, like, he's really fast. He's gotten quite a few fastest times in qualifiers. Like, that's like his thing. the first people we're going against is, you know, Paul Kashmir and Lauren Ball.
Oh,
this is
the Le Breakfast Club was also on your original episode.
Oh, the Le Breakfast. Yeah.
Yeah.
I knew, like, I know John and I know Noel and I know Jesse, and they're all fast. They're all great. John has the advantage of just being, you know, having go-go gadget limbs.
Yeah.
So he can just finish obstacles early for no reason.
Yeah.
Other than he's just tall. Yeah. Noel's super strong, super quick. Jesse's super quick. And then with the ballers, Mei Ling, like she, I remember seeing her and training around her previously. And like, she was never as good as she was then. Like, I don't know what she had been doing in the past year, but she had just, talent wise just exploded. Like, she was so quick and so strong and so fluid through everything that it was just like, holy cow, she's beating Erica. What's going on? And this was her first time doing anything like this. And she was just a natural at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we talked about Paul. I was super happy to see Paul Kashmir back. They said that he took a year off last year. I was under the impression that he wasn't asked.
No, he took a year off. And his wife got married, quit their jobs, and went on an 8-month what are those called? What are those things called where you get married?
Sabbatical?
No, not honeymoon. An 8-month honeymoon. Oh. Yeah, they both quit their jobs so they could go on an 8-month honeymoon.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
The dream.
So he's back. Does he plan on getting back into the swing of things in terms of like A&W and everything?
I hope so. I mean, I think he wants to. I don't know if he got called this year.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we have complained before about how we're a little concerned about American Ninja Warrior not respecting its legacy and its forefathers.
Yeah, he should definitely get a call, I feel like. Mm-hmm. Feel like he's like the one person who should definitely every year get a call,
right?
Yeah.
If you have a nickname, then you should get a just immediately get a call. I feel like
the nicknames have gotten there's too many now. Everybody's got a nickname.
Well, no, some of them are a little forced.
If you made up your own, it doesn't count. If you got a nickname from the show, then they should be calling you back every time.
The one thing that kind of bothers me a little bit are people that, you know, call themselves the ninja blank or the blank ninja.
Yeah.
And there's so much of that.
What was the one Akbar, the big dog ninja?
Big dog ninja, because the giant was already taken.
Yeah.
Like, not your best, Akbar.
Are you happy with your with the beast?
Yeah. I mean, at first
one.
I ignored it, but after they kept calling me it season after season, it kind of stuck. So now I like it.
I mean, once it's on a tank top, it's official forever. Like, now that you have it on a shirt, it's never going away.
Well, wasn't there some competition? Wasn't Alan Keneally also talking like he's the beast?
Yeah, so that year it was funny because there were in Venice, there was myself, there was Alan who made his submission video about that. And then there was someone else who was like 6'6". 225, like just a huge jacked dude, and he was calling himself the Super Beast. And and that interview that we had with Jen Brown was the three of us and Jen Brown, and then me and Alan both did well, and then he fell on like the second obstacle, so we had to redo the interview without the Super Beast.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Okay, so what were some of your favorite moments during season two of Team Ninja?
I'd say going up against the I don't know their name, but David Campbell's team,
the NorCal Ninjas, the least creative name potentially in the whole competition.
Could have gotten you know something.
Why weren't
something
they like
Godfather-y?
Yeah, the Godfathers or
the
something.
OGs maybe.
Yeah.
David wanted the OGs, but I think that's what he wanted. But I think there was a problem with that, as far as like not everyone knowing what OG means.
Oh, NBC doesn't want to have gangsta.
Something like that.
But everyone knows what NorCal means.
Everyone knows what NorCal is.
I love David. He's one of my favorites.
Seeing Drew race David was, I think, one of my favorite races, because you saw just like a sense of urgency out of Drew, because he knew he knew David was going to just be nipping at his heels the whole time and he couldn't make a mistake.
Yeah, Taryn, yeah. That must have been a real Sophie's choice for you.
It was.
With Drew and David.
I couldn't lose. It didn't matter who lost. I still was happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was a little disappointed by the Ballers because I really wanted to race Paul.
Oh, yeah.
But then I was like, okay, I'll take their team captain.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we were just talking about, you know, there are very few people who have been on every season, and Lauren Ball is one of those people.
That's right. I was talking with someone about who has been on every season, and Lauren was the one I was forgetting.
There it is. Yeah. I think I don't think he actually appeared on the first season, but he still ran.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they were just taking anyone that walked by. Hey, you want to do this?
Yeah. Well, I like, did you ever run into, okay, this is, I'm sorry for the recent fans of American Jewry, but did you ever run into Levi Muhlenberg?
Yeah.
Because he was like, for anyone that doesn't know, Levi Muhlenberg was like the star of American Ninja Challenge or whatever it was called. He made it further than anyone when they first started bringing people over to Sasuke. And he was on, I believe, the first three seasons, right, of mm-hmm. American Ninja Warrior?
Yes, I think he was on season three. I remember he had just come back from like filming in like the Philippines or something for the Bourne movie.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And he just came back and then he showed up and like went out on the first obstacle for the second year in a row.
Yeah.
Or something. And then he was just done.
Yeah, it's a storied history of American Ninja Warrior and Ninja Warrior and Sasuke and all of it.
But he's a nice guy. He's really quiet.
Yeah, he was known for doing fancy flips on the Sasuke course.
Oh yeah, no, I mean if you ever ran into him at like the Tempest Free Running Academy, he's like warming up with like triples, just whatever kind of flip he was doing, he just warm up with the triples of that, and it's just like, what is going on over there?
Okay, so again, I apologize for anyone that doesn't know who Levi Muhlenberg is. I'm just geeking out over the. Oh, okay, anyway, so what did you think of the format of Team Ninja Warrior overall? Like the way it's structured, where there's two people who run, yeah.
So I like it, and a lot of people will say, you know, especially using Le Breakfast Club as an example, saying they win every single match and every single heat until the very end where they lost two.
Yeah.
And then they're out.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard people say that stuff like that is whereas they could lose every matchup in the first one and still be in.
Yeah.
But for, you know, I feel like the first matchups are basically to create like rankings and seedings.
Yeah.
Because there is no like preseason. This, you know, it's a very, very new sport. There's not a lot of teams. So I think that's okay. And having a warm up round on something so new is fine. But once you get to the knockout round, like it's serious business. You can't mess up. You got to go for it.
Yeah. And it's hard because it's a little bit offset by the relay where you have to have a strong team overall. But you can get to the relay by having just a really good anchor.
Just relying on your captain.
Yeah, and we kind of saw that with
But that's what the relay is for. It's to eliminate those teams that got just with their captain.
But not to throw friend of the podcast Noah Kaufman under the bus at all, but a team like Think Tank where it's like they lost everything except that Matt would win every single matchup. It was kind of hard to see like other teams get eliminated that were like more well-rounded when they just had like one amazing person.
Yeah, and I feel like Joe's team, Storm team, was sort of like perfectly positioned where like he had a super strong team, right? Like,
yeah,
you know, Alyssa Beard,
yeah.
Who
sitting right next to James.
I knew it from Instagram. You guys were together, but I didn't want to be like, hey, like, is Alyssa there? Like, can you get her on? Did not want to be creepy, but definitely blew that. Hi, Alyssa.
Yeah, she's right here.
Hey.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
So, Alyssa, how did you feel about your team, Storm Team? What was it? Storm Team? Was that it?
Storm Team, yeah.
Yeah.
They dropped the Murawski this year.
I was pretty excited. I was a little nervous when I started hearing calls going out to other females that I train with, and they were all getting calls, and I was just crossing my fingers. So I was really excited. You know, I trained with Joe for a couple months on Saturdays. I didn't really know Josh very well, but I heard he did really well in LA last season. So Yeah, I was pretty pumped going into it.
Cool. Yeah, the second I saw Storm Team, I was like, I really felt like, obviously, Party Time, I felt like they had a good shot because they did so well last year. I felt like Team TNT, you know, anytime Travis Rosen is on a team, they're going to be good. But then I thought, you know, Real Life Beasts, and then I saw Storm Team, and I feel like these guys, these are the top four easily. And especially, I felt like every single person on Storm Team was just so, so good. Josh Levin is such a great climber. I felt like, how are you going to stop Storm Team? And I felt like you guys were really positioned well. Because Joe is so fast, like he just like almost never lost one of his matchups, right? Did he ever end up losing any of them?
He did not. No, you were just saying with having a strong captain, he definitely pulled through for us on a couple rounds. I mean, I didn't really announce it. I had come in and sprained my ankle a week prior to this. So thankfully, he was a strong captain and kind of made up for some of the points. I know Josh had some really close matches his first couple of races. I made some silly errors. So yeah, Joe came in really strong.
Yeah, well, that's what I felt was so strong about Storm Team, is that like, even though, you know, Joe would sometimes, you know, carry those points, once you got to the relay, you were able to find your strength in the relay, and like, you were able to kill it in that. So like, no one was ever going to beat you in the relay, essentially. And because nobody could beat Joe, or at least the people he went against, it was like, you know, there you go. All you need to do is not make any mistakes.
Yeah. Which happened anyway.
Yeah.
Not to veer into gossip podcast territory, but did you two meet through the show, or do you just like through training circuits, or
through training at the gym that she was talking about with Joe was the training session that myself and Louis Moso, another ninja, were holding on Saturdays. We do a Saturday adult ninja training at GCA in Fairfield, Connecticut. And, you know, we'd get like a bunch of people driving from all over the place to show up for that. You know, some people would drive like 3+ hours just to show up for Saturday trainings.
Wow.
And she was one of them.
I was one.
And that's pretty much how we met.
Amazing. In case this is the first that people are hearing about this, this is a ninja power couple. Feel like should make clear to our listeners.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think the preeminent power couple in American Jewelry, right?
Casey and Brent are business partners.
There you go. Okay, so I mean, James, you had a bit of a reaction to what I was saying about Storm Team.
Yeah, we had a replacement for Erica, and things didn't go so well. Obviously she was a strong athlete to even be invited to be an alternate, and she, she subbed in for Jess Britton and did, you know, she did great. So I didn't think we were going to really have too many problems there, and just, it's hard to see, you know, that late in the competition, someone still going out on the Ring of Fire, especially if you've been on that obstacle and you know what to expect. It was hard. And I know it was tough for her to step in to such a big moment like that. But all we need, like, it didn't matter how slow you go, as long as you didn't hit the water. Because like I said before, that 10 seconds was a death sentence in the relay race, because the course was so quick that it just, like, 10 seconds and it just didn't matter anymore. They could have made it 5 seconds and it would have been a close race.
Yeah.
Like, it would have been close, but they still, you know, it would have been like a toss up who wins. Cause I think by the time I tagged Drew, I'd made up maybe 2 or 3 seconds, and then Drew made up maybe 2 or 3 seconds, you know, give or take a second from each of us. Cause overall, I think it was close to making up around 5 seconds. And I don't think there's a team on the later two obstacles that could make up that, and, you know, that could make up more time than we made up. Like, I don't think there's anyone faster than us two on the back 2/3 of that course. And for us to not even make up half the time that we were penalized, it's kind of like, it was kind of hard, because watching other teams in the relay where someone fell, it was just like, oh, we know who, like, I wouldn't even watch the rest of the relay when someone fell. I would just be like, oh, they lost. Like, this course is way too quick to have a 10 second penalty.
Yeah. And it's pretty anticlimactic when it's like, you know, these two, you know, Titan teams going up against each other, and then right away, like, the first person falls, and then it's like, oh, well, that's over.
Yeah, it's over before it starts.
Yeah. Yeah. Was everyone just standing around like constantly complaining about the Ring of Fire during this whole thing?
Not really, no.
It did not make for good television.
It caught a lot of people by surprise. I was wondering why people were getting hung up on it. And then on my first run, I got hung up on it and was like, oh, okay, I learned my lesson. And I never got hung up on it again.
Yeah.
But there were some people that like every single time they ran, they got caught up on it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was difficult because you had to do the hop almost as soon as you landed.
Yeah.
From the hop. So you had to do the first hop about a foot before you wanted to hop, or, you know, a foot and a half, 2 feet before you wanted to hop is when you had to start doing the hop because you were traveling so fast. And then as soon as you hit, you had to hop again. There was no waiting because if you waited, you were going to get caught. Yeah, you're gonna get stuck.
Yeah. I like the concept of the obstacle. I think it's an interesting one. And I like the difficulty and the skill required to get through it quickly. But I do agree with Lita in the sense that it was so often very much like somebody falling into the water. As soon as somebody gets caught up with the Ring of Fire, it's like, oh, well, that heat is over.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like they could have made it longer and less angled and it would have been fine.
Yeah.
Like maybe put three hops in it then. But just because of the speed that you're coming off of that thing, like I remember landing, like I honestly should have just hopped one, hit the second one and just let go from there. Because hopping both of them and letting go at the end, I was going so fast. So my momentum forward was going so fast that I was landing with my feet at the edge of, it was about the landing platform. If you saw, it was about 4 feet. And then there was like a 2.5 foot bump up to another platform where you did the next obstacle.
Yeah.
I was landing like into that little wall.
Yeah.
Every time. And it was slowing me down because I remember watching and going like, man, that just took like 2.5 seconds off my time. Hitting that and just literally hitting a wall and, you know, having to start from zero again and work my way back up to, you know, getting momentum. Whereas, you know, if I did the obstacle the way it wasn't intended to be done, I would have been able to flow with it and kept going.
The two of you may have different answers to this question, but how did you feel about the season overall? Like, were you happy with how the season went?
I was not happy. Obviously, I think we could have done with a little less injuries.
Yeah.
Erica's injury was kind of a freak injury. She kind of landed in the split of the padding on the landing mat. Mm-hmm. And with just how fast she was going, it happened to explode her knee. Mm-hmm. With everyone else, I think it was they were getting injured on the floating tiles and the dismount on the
tires.
On the tire swing.
On the tires mostly, yeah.
Yeah. Natalie Duran's in particular.
Oh my gosh.
Rough. Yeah.
Well, she, and I don't want to, you know, sound like I'm saying anything bad about Natalie, but she's a climber and she's never trained for falling and landing.
Yeah.
Falling is what you don't want to do as a climber. And if you could see by the way she was swinging and kipping and throwing off of it, it was scaring me because, you know, you're really high up in the air and she was, you know, falling sideways.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things about ninjas today. Like if you take back and look at seasons 1, 2, and 3, and even like up to 4 and 5, a lot of the core group that was doing really well were just free runners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So stuff like that, you know, they could drop from long distances, they could fall and roll and do all kinds of stuff and be completely fine. Whereas if you look at all of the top ninjas today, they specialize in just ninja.
Yeah.
And some of them only train obstacles and they, a lot of them don't have any parkour experience at all. And that's where you start getting these people that start to fall and have no idea how to catch themselves. Or having a hard time swinging and landing can be difficult if that's something you've never done before or trained or practiced. And that's where I feel Natalie went wrong. Because if you look at the way she landed the time before she got injured, that was almost even scarier. But yeah, she somehow didn't get injured on that one. But then the way she just threw herself on that last one was, we actually had when they were showing us the obstacles and showing us male and female testers, people got injured. The testers got injured.
Oh my God.
On the drop. Because
that's
they, you know, they didn't know how to land.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think overall as a season, I mean, it was my first experience with Team Ninja, so I was just excited to be there. I ideally would have liked to not have been injured going into it.
Ideally.
I was on the plane ride to LA and I still wasn't sure if I was going to be able to run. I hadn't even told my team that I was injured.
just want to make sure they didn't reject you.
Well, I was debating on telling them. And then we got a group, we had a group chat going on Facebook, and Josh Levin sent a message to our group and said, "Hey guys, I just want to let you know, I took a pretty high fall from a climbing comp that I was at, landed funny." It was one of the, what's that climbing competition over the water?
Over the water in Colorado, or
I can't remember. But you know, it's over this huge.
It's a really famous one.
Yeah, Megan Martin does it. I know.
Yeah.
He fell like 40 feet under like his back or his like head and neck. He's like, "Go to the doctor to get it looked at." But I just want to let you guys know. And I'm like, "Oh, I can't say anything." So I showed up and I like hobbled toward Joe in the hotel. I'm like, "So this happened," and I plan on running. But no, I mean, I would, you know, ideally not being injured, I think I would have been able to get some more points from my team, not being as hesitant. But overall, I mean, it was such a good atmosphere just being with, I mean, the whole Ninja family. And aside from injuries, I think the whole thing was, I think it was run well. It seemed like it was a step up from season one in terms of like location. Gosh. We got AC this year.
The location was so much better.
You can see the court from above. There was no dust.
Well, the other one was like a shipyard, right?
It was in a shipyard, which was fine. And they had them rearrange the shipping containers in a really cool way.
Yeah.
So that we had little alcoves of like complete shade throughout the day. But the ground was all dirt. It was this loose dirt that was just kind of always, I mean, yeah, dirt's dirty, but this stuff, there's something about it, like
extra dirty dirt.
It was shipyard. It was like junkyard dirt, except it was in the shipyard.
Ugh. I mean, overall, I'm really hoping there's going to be a season three. I've heard rumors both ways about renewal or not, so just crossing my fingers at this point.
I was told be ready for season three.
That sounds good.
In late September, early October.
That sounds good.
You heard it here first.
Is it usually like a couple of months after the regular season tapes?
Last year it was in August, mid-August.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the year before it was at the end of August. And for this year, who knows? I don't know.
Well, so Alyssa, how did it feel being being a part of the champion team?
Now that we've completely derailed this James interview.
Yeah,
all about Alyssa.
Oh gosh, it was awesome. I mean, again, it would have been nice personally to have contributed a little bit more in the front end some of our earlier relays. But I definitely, I mean, Joe was awesome in terms of making me try things that I was hesitant to do that hurt. But I realized that there was like a certain pain threshold that I would just have to withstand. And the last couple of relays, I think I was able to kind of push through it a little bit better. So yeah, it felt good at the end standing with everyone. And again, the community is great. So it felt nice to be supported by everybody. And hopefully that, you know, inspiration and support. We feel it always. So
and while we have you, this question is not about Team Ninja Warrior, but I was just curious for the regular season of American Ninja Warrior, how you felt about the new rule for women. I think a lot of our listeners are interested in this. A lot of people have really strong opinions about it. So was that something that was like suggested by women competitors, or were you just kind of told like this is what's happening?
So with my work schedule, I unfortunately can't go to any other tapings of any cities. So I just get to like see photos of all the ninjas together at all the cities. And I was talking to, I think it was Barclay Stockett and Jesse Lebrecht at two separate times. And they both were like, "What do you think about the new rule for females?" And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. And they were like, "You haven't heard?" I'm like, "No, I've been at work the last week. Like, I haven't been hanging out with ninjas."
You're always out of the loop, not getting CC'd on the email.
Yeah. So it was a surprise to me. You know, the season had already started. They were, I think, in, was it LA or San Antonio by the time that had already filmed by the time I knew about this new rule. At first, I was pretty not okay with hearing about it.
Yeah.
But it's a conversation that I think a lot of the female ninjas have had over the course of the season. And somebody put a post on Facebook somewhere with a good discussion about it, where at this point I'm kind of in the middle. I think that it's a good step towards eliminating the wild cards, where it was sort of just, you're a female and we kind of like you and you maybe did better or not than some other females that we may or may not have chosen. So here you go. So I think in terms of getting rid of the wild cards, it's a step in the right direction to have a way that, if you know, it's TV, first of all. So you need to have a certain amount of, I think, females in order for viewers to still want to watch. You know, it's, I think, inspiring to a lot of kids, and, you know, young girls want to see female ninjas too. And it's difficult when you have, you know, almost every other sport, they separate male and females for, I would say, biological reasons. You know, males usually tend to be stronger, faster. In general, you know, they hold higher records in a lot of sports. So when you have them in the same field competing in the same course for the same thing, I think the new rule kind of helps even that out a little bit, to ensure that there are still, you know, a good amount of females that get to go to Vegas. And I think that there's still some tweaking that can be done, because I know there's still people that feel that it should be completely even. So I don't know how they're going to go in the future. I know there was talk about it this season. So I don't know. We'll see. I think my goal ideally would be to never use female handicaps that are given. Yeah. I would have loved to go to Vegas last year by qualifying, but I was very thankful for a wild card and to get the opportunity to compete in Vegas. Once you're there, you know, you have to complete stage one in order to move on. There is no wild cards or female rules or anything. So I kind of go both ways.
Yeah, I think that's where we landed too in our original discussion of it, was that, like, there's definitely, I can see why they're doing this, but I can also see the women competitors feeling a little bit like maybe condescended to or something like that. But I think the nice thing about it is that you can still be in the top 30 in your own right. It's not like, here's the top 30 and then here's the top five women. Like, you can be in the top 30 in your own right as a woman and, like, not be included in that, like, other five.
So, and that's, for me, I like it a lot. I'm very happy with it, because, like you said, you know, you can always just qualify the good old fashioned way, right?
Which is the goal.
Which is the goal.
Of course.
But if you don't, it gets rid of the wild card, which, if you're saying that the rule feels condescending, well, the wild card, they could choose anybody, but
the
they're only choosing women.
Felt very condescending.
Right. Yeah. You knew that they were never choosing dudes for the wild card. So it was just like, so it gets that out of the way and says, okay, we're only taking the best. Whereas if you didn't do so well the first night and you didn't get to compete the second night, then that's that. Your season's done. That's it. And you don't get to prove that, you know, you're one of the top women. And they could just end up taking the women they like the most and not the women who perform the best.
Yeah.
So in this way, they're getting the best athletes and doing away with the wild card. And those athletes still might just qualify in the normal top 30, top 15.
Yeah.
So it still gets the job done. But yeah, no, it plays out very well, and I really like the rule a lot. If there's anything they can do to change it to make it better, I mean,
it's tough. I mean,
then you know, that's something they're probably going to think about and try and look at and see how they can make it better. But right now, I think it's about as good as it can get. But I mean, they're probably looking for a way to improve it.
And I'm sure they'll look at feedback from ratings and viewership and things, and look at the response from fans and kind of see if they like it, if they don't like it. And again, you know, it's all about TV on that end.
Because your thing, that's the main argument I hear against it, is like, oh, women don't need a handicap, where it's like, well, what do you think the wild card is? Like, it's meant for any competitor. And they're like, if I fall early, they're never going to give me a wild card. Just like, because they feel the same way I feel, that I have to go out and earn it, or if something happened, they're not going to give me a second chance. They'd rather give someone who tried really hard and they know who, and they want to, you know, they want to see more of, rather than someone who completely blew it, you know?
Yeah.
And this does away with any kind of subjective way of feeling like, okay, there were six really good women in this city, and they took two on wild card. They just took the two that they liked the most, or like, oh, they took her because she's really pretty or something.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just like right. they took her because she's story. Funny. Yeah. Like this one girl was obviously better. It does away with any kind of conversation in that realm and just says they took the two best from each city.
Yeah. So were you two together when you filmed Team Ninja?
Yes.
So how did it feel competing against each other like that?
Well, we really didn't compete against each other.
Right.
Well, you could have. I think our course of action would have been clear. No holds bar.
Yeah, no, just, I would have loved to go against you guys. Yeah. That would have been cool.
Do you rub it in his face that you won?
No.
Do you have the trophy? Do you display the trophy before. At all times?
I mean,
no, I could make one.
That would be just nice. Just an aluminum foil trophy and just have it with you all the time. When you're with James.
Hey, James, look at this.
Yeah.
No,
we'll see. That's why I don't train her, because I got to get ready for next season.
Just give her horrible advice.
Yeah, just give her the worst advice.
Yeah. So if there is another Team Ninja, are you going to stay? You're going to stay probably on the same
team? I imagine teams? She's going to be on Joe's team again.
Yeah.
Probably. All right,
that'll
yeah.
be interesting. Be... hopefully you're able to compete against each other.
Yeah. Cool. We'll see. In the finals, I can just take it away from her. I can look her in the eye as I hit the buzzer at the end. And then buy dinner that night.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully one of us will then buy dinner.
Yeah.
I can't say it's going to be you.
Oh, okay.
I'd like that trophy again.
Okay. Is it just the trophy you get, or is there anything else that
they
comes
don't get
with
a
that?
Trophy? We don't get trophies.
Well, no trophies.
Theoretically, you're presented with a
they get their name put on a trophy, and then that trophy goes to a warehouse to never be seen in the light of day
until the next team.
until the next filming.
That trophy just looks like a knockoff version of the Stanley Cup, but it's like small. I have never been impressed by the Team Ninja Warrior trophy, so I'm glad that it, at least no one takes it home and it's not.
Yeah, someone
anything.
Just commented on that. Like, it looks like the Stanley Cup trophy.
Does it? I'm not a fan of Stanley Cup.
I feel like it should be a trophy of Stage 4. Just like that's the trophy.
Yeah.
Like a model of.
They had one of those.
Medora.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
With a little dude on top.
Oh, there you go. Cool.
It was the MVP trophy for USA versus Japan.
Oh, cool.
I feel like that kind of looks like a wedding cake topper if you have like a person on top of it.
Here it is.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, that looks exactly like the Stanley Cup, which Taryn doesn't know what that looks like either, but it is a hockey trophy. And
that's what I heard.
Sure, you did.
I didn't know what it looked like, but I knew it.
Okay, well, there it is. So I'm glad that Joe Morawski doesn't have that like displayed in his home.
Yeah, we've talked to Joe on the podcast. He's a really dedicated guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was, I don't think they showed it.
He's definitely a guy. That's for sure.
That means
I don't know. Take it however you want.
The last relay that they
James, you're throwing
the
shit
last relay that they showed.
I hope he's listening.
It was kind of cool because I know he was talking in some of the interviews. I don't remember if they aired some of these interviews or not with Alex on the sidelines, where he was talking about, you know, kind of coming up short for a couple of years and not getting to where he wanted to be. And I just remember seeing Josh go up the rope for the final relay, and he came up behind and like put his hand on my shoulder or something. And I turned around, and his eyes were all red, and he'd like teared up. I was like, oh, jeez. So yeah, it was cool. I can see, you know, it was like finally his moment, and you know, he led us there as a team captain, so that was cool to see.
Yeah, he played like a little like a clip about like, you know, don't, if you want to get where you want to go, no sleep. You can't even sleep. You got to just you know. I feel like he's so dedicated. He really, really wants this.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
But you definitely, if you're listening, you should be sleeping. It's really important, especially for someone as physically active as you. Sleep is a good thing.
With children.
Getting the right amount of sleep is really important with recovery.
Ever since that podcast, I've been not sleeping, thinking this is the secret to doing really well in American Ninja Warrior. And now I'm getting conflicting advice.
Oh, that's why you don't sleep.
Not training, like just not sleeping, not training during that not sleeping time. You just like sit on the couch and just not sleep.
Yeah, if it took not sleeping, I would have won years ago. I've, you know, it's just one of the things that's always hard is getting your sleep schedule correct, you know, and then transitioning back to a normal sleep schedule and still having to exert yourself the way you need to train and work out for this kind of stuff.
Yeah. And then at the time when it matters the most, when you have like, you know, 2 minutes to do a stage in Vegas, they're like, yeah, it's at 5 a.m. So
yeah, you gotta perform. You gotta perform.
My sleep schedule is still messed up from Vegas. I'm still like sleeping until like 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
I haven't recovered yet.
Vegas is the worst on the East Coast. Like when I lived in Seattle, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
But then when I moved to the East Coast, it was terrible because now, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning is now 6 o'clock in the morning. Yep. Is now 9 a.m. And when was the last time you stayed up till 9 a.m? Like, that's insane.
Yeah.
You can go to sleep at 6 a.m. and still wake up at like before noon. You can't go to sleep at 9 a.m. and wake up, you know, at a reasonable time.
Be good to go.
Yeah. It's the worst. You wake up and you feel like the day's already passed.
Yeah.
That first we went to night one in Vegas and then, I went to sleep. Woke up, had to do a podcast right away, and then I woke up at like 5 o'clock to 2 p.m. and then had to do a podcast, and then had to like immediately go back to night two.
It was like Groundhog Day. Like we just slept all day and then woke up and we're like, oh,
can imagine having competed the first night,
right?
And then first thing you have to do is eat, and then immediately go, and then you're just sitting around, and then you got to go compete.
Yeah.
And wait around and not know when you're going to compete exactly. And maybe, you know, when should you eat? That's one of the things is like getting your nutrition right. You know, you get there at 5 if you ate at like 2 or 3 and you're not competing until after midnight and they don't have food come in until their lunch break, which is at like 1.
Yeah.
So you got to pack in all the food you're going to eat, plan your meals so, you know, you're not starving, but you're not, you know, you don't have a whole bunch of food in your stomach by the time you got to run.
Yeah, I think of that second night, I like shoved a whole pizza down my throat before going to the second.
It's true. I watched it happen. Yes, it was truly amazing. Yeah.
Yes.
And we weren't even competing. And this is like how much we're whining about.
Yeah. Listen, those bleachers are very uncomfortable.
It was very hot with the pyrotechnics. The second night we were complaining.
It was very hot in general. Yeah. Even at night when the breeze came, it's just like, oh, this is awful.
Yeah. Grasshoppers were descending on us.
It's like a preview for when we recap our Vegas experience, but it was like two of the hottest nights apparently that they've had in a while, so.
Like ever.
Tough time in Vegas.
Yes. For us as spectators, so that's what really matters.
Yeah, it was really rough for us.
Okay.
It's gotta be rough on the spectators just sitting there all night.
Yeah.
I mean, at least the competitors can go back to the tent where it's AC.
Oh, yeah. That sounds nice.
It is nice.
It looks like you guys are having a lot of fun with your, like, you know, trampolines and, you know, warm up bars.
Yeah.
I want to do that.
Oh, that's just trying to stay ready. The people in that pit are very nervous.
I can imagine. Yeah.
The only ones who are having fun are the ones who already went and succeeded.
Yeah, right.
Until then, you can't really like ease up.
It must be so nerve-wracking to all those lights are on you. You know, you've trained all year for this moment. Like, here you go. Like, don't mess up. I can only imagine how crazy that must feel.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, I don't know. For me, when I'm there, it's like, this is why I do what I do, to be here.
Yeah.
So it's not more of like a, ooh, let's have fun type thing, but it's more of a, like, it's starting to get serious kind of a thing. Trying to focus as much as possible, trying to worry as much as I can before, so I don't worry during.
Yeah. When you fall, are you like super disappointed usually? It must feel pretty bad.
Here's the thing when you fall in Vegas, initially, internally, you're just like, oh, this is the worst thing ever. Like every time it happens each year. But you're also like, oh, God, this actually feels kind of nice because it's like a million degrees outside. I've been thinking about the people that finish stage one and then jump in. Yeah. And I think I'm going to adopt that in my coming seasons, because it just seems like a nice way to cool off after stage one.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Because when you're running through the course, you're so hot and it's so dry that it dries out your lungs. And I think it just like being hot and your body trying to cool down at that temperature actually takes a lot out of you physically. So yeah. I think cooling off as quickly as you can after running through stage one is probably a great idea.
Jake Murray, secret genius.
Yeah. Jake Murray, he knew it before everyone else. He just got all goofy on us and didn't want us to think twice about it.
Yeah. I mean, he's got
everything covered. He distracts you with a fanny pack and a corn dog.
And a corn dog.
He cools off. He's got the nutrition with the corn dog. Yeah. Got all his bases covered.
Taryn, are we still legally allowed to brand this as a Team Ninja Warrior podcast?
I think this is like chats with
James Alyssa.
And yeah. Special guest Alyssa.
Sorry, I couldn't help but bring her in when you mentioned her. So.
Oh my god, that's no.
Great, yeah. We're so happy to have you. Okay, so let's wrap this up. Yeah, we've taken up a lot of your time. Let's final thoughts on Team Ninja Warrior. I thought this was a great season. I really enjoyed watching it. I liked having a bunch more teams. I did have somewhat of an issue with the Ring of Fire. I liked the obstacle, but it did kind of make some of these runs anticlimactic. And then obviously I agree with James in terms of the somebody falls, that 10 second thing, it just immediately ends the relay, which is supposed to be one of the more exciting aspects. So I'd like to see some minor rule changes there. Maybe
That was a tough one because the 10 second rule was from season one, and right. 10 seconds on season one course was fine.
Yeah.
Like it was absolutely fine.
Couldn't go either way.
You could actually make that up and it could go either way if you had a good team. I don't think they really tested this course out as much as they did for the first season.
Yeah,
because they would have, like, after the first few runs, it was just like, wait, it's still 10 seconds. This course is way too fast to make up 10 seconds.
Joe literally did the course in 30 seconds. Like, yeah. you can't. It's too much. I agree.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it. I thought this was a great season. I really hope it comes back. It's so much fun to watch. You know, we got behind in terms of covering it because we got so busy, you know, going to Vegas, going to all the places that we were going. But it was a blast to catch up, watching all these episodes. I'd really love to see it come back.
Yeah. It's easy to binge, which is not true of American Ninja Warrior, because you don't have like a ton of packages about like people dying and like overcoming challenges. And it's also only an hour long.
And in that hour, you get almost twice as many races. It's just like I watched an hour of it and I felt like it was like 20 minutes. I was like, whoa, it's done. That's it. I just saw like 15 people run the course. What's happening? That usually takes 3 hours minimum.
Yeah,
it really is. It's like double the runs in half the time.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's our chat / Team Ninja Warrior / whatever else, Sasuke. If you're a fan like me, this has been the best podcast we've done so far. If you're a fan like Lita, then you had no idea what we were talking
Stop
about at the time.
Throwing me under the bus. I have Team Sasuke.
Lita, hold on, Lita. Do you not know what Sasuke is?
I've seen it. I just haven't seen as much of it.
Oh, you just know what it is. You just have never watched it.
I forced her to start watching it. She watched like 4 seasons.
Yeah.
I watched and like, then she
the
stopped.
First 4 seasons?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of hard.
Okay, well, this
you
is
gotta
what
get
I
to like season 9 before you get to the good stuff, because the first 4 seasons are just like, it's like rewatching season 1 of American Ninja Warrior.
Yeah.
It's like, this was a course?
Yeah, no, yep. Everybody already knows by now, if you listen to this podcast, that I'm a fake fan of this show. But what I lack in knowledge and history, I make up for in extreme passion for it.
Very nice. Yes. Very well said.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining. I hope this was a very special episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If you want to subscribe, you can find us on iTunes, American Ninja Warrior Rehap Ups. That's R-H-A-P Ups. You can also subscribe to the Reality TV Rehap Ups feed. It has all of the other shows, including one that Lita does, the So You Think You Can Dance podcast.
Yep. Yes. We have a week off. Come back next week. Check it out.
There you go. You can also find us on robhasawebsite.com and leave a comment. You can tweet at us. I'm at Armstrong Taren. Lita is at Lita Tweeted. James, Alyssa, do you have Twitters or anything that you want to plug here?
My Twitter and Instagram are both ninjames206.
Instagram for me is A Beard, and Twitter is Alyssa Beard. Same with Facebook.
It's a weird spelling, though.
Oh, but it's B-E-I-R-D, if that helps. Is that what you meant?
Yeah. Well, I mean, people are going to type in A Beard, and they're going to get an Instagram about beard.
There we go.
Whereas if they spell it right, they'll find you.
Cool.
All right, so thank you, everyone, for joining us. This has been a really special experience. So I hope you enjoyed it, and we will see you next time.